Well, would you look in Galatians chapter 3? We'll continue on as we're preaching through this book. Galatians chapter 3, we'll look at verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. And I want to preach to you for a little while about this lesson, this message God preaches to Abraham. And we'll see that here in just a little bit. As we read in this passage, we'll see that God preaches to him. And if Abraham's the one getting the message and God's the one doing the preaching, I want to listen to that sermon. Verse number 6 of Galatians 3. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You understand that in the Jewish religion, Abraham would have been that great father of faith, and that's why he keeps being referenced. And the scripture, verse 8, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. It's an amazing thing there in the middle of verse number 8 where it says that God would justify the heathen through faith, because you understand that was unheard of to Jewish believers anyways, and would be a little bit odd even to people who are like us. Hard to think that God would have just as much love, but it's true, have just as much love for you that grew up here in the good old United States of America. He would have just as much love for that person that's as far away from any morality, any ethics, any decency, anything. He has just as much love for that person over there, whoever that is, as he has for you. I've grown up, and you know this, I don't know when I learned about Jesus Christ. I was taught his name before I was ever born, I'm sure. They were reading scripture to me before I was even saw the light of day, and then all the way up through. But God does not love you, or if that happened to you or me, any more than he does the Muslim that's gaining strength in France, who would in many ways have a strong hatred for your religion. God loves that person just as much as he loves me, amen, you who grew up in good old Tennessee or West Virginia. So, amazing thing. And he would justify the heathen through faith. And so I want to preach for just a little while and get you out of here. God bless us now is our prayer. Help us in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, we're going to look at verse number 6. And we're going to see that young Abraham believes God. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now remember, we mentioned here in times past that we've got to get away from the old standby way of thinking that many people have. That in the Old Testament, they kept the law, but after the cross, you got saved by grace. Well, they weren't able to keep the law back then. Just like you're not able to keep the law now, by the works of the law shall no man be justified, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And so even as Abraham, and here's why it was accounted to him for righteousness, he believed God. I want to show you back where that's quoting from. Look back in Genesis chapter 15, the first book of the book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 15. And we'll see in verse number 6 about that reference that Abraham believed in the Lord, and that what God did because of his belief in the Lord. Then we want to see the story that's unfolding there in chapter 15. It's a very interesting, wonderful story. I trust to be a blessing to you. Verse number 6, Genesis 15. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? So the story is, we found the young Abraham. This is after he rescued Lot. This is early on in his life, but he rescued Lot. Now he comes. If you remember the story, after he rescued not only Lot, but helped the other the tribes there, the other people, and they wanted to reward him. And that'd be at the end of verse number 14. They come and they say, would you let us reward you? And Abraham refuses that. And then in verse number 1 of chapter 15, it's amazing. God said, good thing you didn't take their reward, because after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. You didn't take their reward, but I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? It was always on the heart of Abraham to have a child. But I want to work our way down through that God says he's his shield. He says, I'm thy exceeding great reward. But then he says, Lord, what about a son? What about an heir? And then in verses 4 and 5, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying that this shall not be thine heir, not one born in thine house, not one of your servants. This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And then look down at verse number 6, and he believed in the Lord. That was where we went back to. If we could just stay here for a little bit, we're going to get back to Galatians, because I want to preach through those couple of verses. But I want you to see in verses 8, 9, 10, this wonderful picture here of how Abraham was justified by faith. So we see in verse number 8, and he said, Lord God, wherewithal shall I know that I shall inherit it? Abraham wanted a handshake from God, or he wanted a notary public to sign a document that God was on the hook to give an heir, and he wanted some proof. You say, where's all that? Well, look in down here. He said unto him, take an heifer of 3 years old, God's telling Abraham, and a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram and a turtle dove, young pigeon. And he took all these things and he divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. It's just telling the story here. The fowls of the air came down, Abraham shooes them away. And then, verse 12, there was a deep sleep that fell on Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. So here's what history teaches. It's a wonderful picture. Instead of having a document signed in those days, history teaches us, it's referenced in Jeremiah 34, 18, if you want to write it down, but history teaches us that people would have a sacrifice together. They would take a sacrifice and they would split it in two and they would put it on either side, and then the two people who were coveting together with whatever they were agreeing on, they would walk between the parts as they had the sacrifice. And this would obligate the two that walked through there. And as they walked through the parts of the sacrifice, the animals that were laid over there, then both sides were obligated to fulfill the contract that they were both signing on to. That's why I'm saying God was going to sign the contract with Abraham. But look at what happens here. So God says, lay it all out there. And he does lay it all out there. The fowls came to eat a little bit of it. Abraham drives them away. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. You know, they're going to go down to Egypt, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. But look, verse 17. It came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. So those pieces of the sacrifice back in verse number 9 that God told him to do, take an heifer, take a she-goat, take a ram, take a turtle dove and all that. Abram separated him out, but God put him to sleep. And then the Bible says, it was a dark, behold, in the dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp, a flaming torch was going through there and passed between those two pieces. In verse number 18, and the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt and the great river, the river Euphrates, and then goes on. And so God, in that Old Testament custom where people would covenant together and they would use a sacrifice to put a seal on their covenant together, God says, I want to make a covenant with you. Abraham, put the flesh on both sides. Clear the spot out in the middle. But the only difference was Abram wasn't going to walk through. God was going to put him to sleep, and God was going to perform both sides of the covenant so that we would get a picture of how Abraham was justified by faith and not by his works. It's an amazing story. So young Abraham believes God. But then we see as we move on, we're back in Galatians now, we see that in verse number 6 that just references back that he believed God. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abram. Almost the same thing he says in verse number 9. But in verse 8, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." And that's a reference to Genesis 22, verse number 18. Now we first saw the young Abraham. Now we see the older Abraham. He's older now. This is after the offering of Isaac when he raises the knife, but God won't let him kill his son. This is after that incident. And God still says, in that day, Abraham, all the nations shall be blessed. And so he's been in a faith a long time at this point. In the first little bit of this, even this passage, God referenced back when he was a young man, just after he rescued Lot, before he'd sacrificed Isaac, before all of that, and God was still promising a seed. And I'm bringing all this out because God preached faith only to Abraham and not works, just like he preaches to us. In James chapter 2, the Bible says, verse 23, "And the scriptures was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." But don't be worried when you read verses in James, when the Bible says in just a couple of verses prior to that, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" One person put it like this: faith alone is what saves, and that's certainly what the Bible teaches, but that faith that saves, it's usually not alone. So sometimes we've gotten so much that we champion the cause of faith is what takes a person to saves a person, and that's true, that sometimes we handcuff the preacher and don't let him preach that this is how Christians ought to live. Just because you don't get saved by works, and no, you don't, none of us, that doesn't mean that that faith that entered into you doesn't produce some works in your life. You just can't get the old proverbial horse, or cart before the horse. So remember, it's only natural for us to be those workers after faith has entered into the equation. So look over at James. You're in Galatians. Turn over to the right several books, if you will. James chapter 2, as I mentioned. Find Hebrews. It's a big book. One more book over. James chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness." And all God's people, we'd say amen to that. And he was called the friend of God. But again, the verse I quoted, look at verse number 21, just a few verses up from it. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he'd offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." So don't shy away from that thing that Christians are supposed to be workers. Now you can work all your life long. If you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you still can't go to heaven. But pray tell me, how come when we're saved, do we shy back away from when we read in the scriptures that, wow, I ought to get busy? That's only a natural discovery when I find myself in the scriptures that since faith resides in me. As one little girl put it to his dad, said, "Dad, if Jesus is inside of you, shouldn't he stick out everywhere?" And that's true. So we see that young Abraham believed God, and then we see that the aged Abraham believes God in verse number 8. And then we see in verse number 9 our inclusion with Abraham. "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So in the Jewish faith, you'd have Moses, who would be a great, great historical hero. Well, before him, before the law, Abraham, the Bible says, was justified by faith. And so the apostle is used of God to speak to these people of Galatia, to look back at one of the premier heroes of anybody's faith, He's the hero of our faith, Abraham is. He's also the hero of the Jewish faith. And you can easily preach to anybody that that hero was not a hero, was not justified, was not a friend of God, was not righteous because of what he did. But in his young life, before he offered Isaac, in his older life after he offered Isaac, it was God from the beginning to the end that justified him. And you and I, my friend, are never going to find any other way to get justified than what the biblical order is, and that order is a man or a woman is justified by faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Because remember, the Bible says, by the works of the law shall no man be justified. Some people that would say that, well, in a certain time, the law had something to do with it. Remember, who was the human instrument to bring down the law? Of course, God brought it down, but Moses. Well, this is before that time came. And so before the law was even thought of, Abraham was justified by faith. After the law has been fulfilled and completed, came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, Jesus said, we're still justified by faith. And so maybe some preventative medicine for all of us to remember that it always has been, it always will be by faith that the Lord allows us to be justified. And thank God for that. How many of you are thankful that your salvation wasn't dependent back then on your works? It's not dependent on now. And when you draw your last breath, it's not dependent then on your works. How many of you are very glad about that? Because it's easy for us to look down our nose at all those people out there. Well, those people, you understand there ain't much difference between them and us except what Jesus has done in me. There's enough church people that are living so far away from where God wants them to live to sicken anybody. It can't be those works of the law, but instead by faith. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this time just to get in your word a little bit more. Lord, it's been a wonderful evening to have Brother Webster here with us, and thank you for him. I pray that you bless his wife as she's tending to needful things out west to help out with her parents. And Lord, it's also a needful or a wonderful night as our church family gets to pray for Maddie as she heads over to South Africa. And Lord, we're reminded we're praying for Victoria. She's already over in Burkina Faso for now for some more weeks. And Lord, we're praying for our other missionaries. And Lord, I'm excited about the church hearing Wednesday night about what we can do to get behind some other good missionaries. And Lord, we're just excited to put our faith promise money to use. Well, we're not giving it to see how much we can amass. We're giving it to get the gospel out. And Lord, thank you for every endeavor that we're able to partner with. I pray that you'd bless. And Lord, I don't think anybody in this room needs to know that salvation is by grace through faith. But Lord, we've got to hammer it in because that's what your word reminds us of. And I pray that you'd settle it down deep within us. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Would you stand together if you're able to, as the ladies play something softly through, and as they play, and if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here tonight and you're one of those church members that been a church member for a long, long time, but the Lord's just been knocking on your heart and showing you the truth that it's not a church membership that gets us to heaven. It's a salvation through Jesus Christ. And if that's you tonight, you're not sure that you're saved, Brother Daniel's standing right in front of the pulpit, would you slip out and come? Let him take a Bible and just show you how you can be sure. There's no sense in spending another night worried about where you're headed when this life is over. Fully on that, I spent way too many nights worried about where I was going when I died. I'll lay my head tonight on a pillow knowing that if something happens to me, I'll wake up with Jesus. And I would love for everybody in this room to be able to say the exact same thing. Are you born again? Saved by faith, saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. As they play one more verse, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. And it's a joy to have each and every one of you here. I'm going to ask Brother Webster, if he doesn't mind, to slip out to the lobby, and hopefully you'll get by to see him and get a prayer card and remind him of your prayers and give your well wishes to his wife and blessings to her. And then I want you, of course, all of us, we're agreement that we're going to be praying for Maddie. Maybe you'll see her before she leaves and let her know that personally that you'll be praying for her and asking the Lord to bless and keep her safe and protected. And then again, as I already mentioned a couple of times, I invite you Wednesday night. There's a lot of exciting things. I'd like to take a major part of the service and give you some mission items that I believe our church can go stand behind and help with. And so we'll do that this Wednesday night, Lord willing, and have a good time doing it. Brother Dan wants to meet with all those that are involved in special music just right over here on his side. Just for a few minutes, and I know it'll be a quick meeting, but some information that you need, and thank you so much. Thank you for those that, the Farlesses that played and sang tonight. Evan did a great job, and thank you for Maddie and Becca. Appreciate that. Thank the Lord for the chance to be in His house. I hope that you'll greet three or four people who you haven't got to talk to yet, and tell them it's good to see them in the house of the Lord, and pray one for another. We'll have a great week together. God bless you. You're dismissed. Right.